You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders, at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Gary Douglas, Managing Director of Gladstone Training Services, a registered training organisation delivering certificates and licences for the resource and construction sector. Gary was part of the industry training from his high school years, with his parents running a successful RTO in Perth, Western Australia. After 20 years of mining and offshore oil and gas experience, he decided to utilise his knowledge of the training sector to provide a flexible, inclusive training service for local Gladstone businesses. So let's start at the very beginning. As I said in that intro, that you actually started very young within the training organisation with your parents.
Yeah, that's right. When I started high school, my parents started up a training business back in Perth, just out of the spare room of the house, and grew it to be one of the biggest RTOs in Perth at one point. They obviously, as parents or family members do, needed plenty of help, and so I was assisted in a lot of different ways, from writing courses to assisting in training and all sorts of practical stuff as well.
So what's one of the fundamentals that maybe instilled with you, with your mum and dad? Was it your father mainly that was in the RTO?
He was definitely the industry background trainer. He was definitely an incredible knowledge as far as different equipment and machinery used goes. But my mother, being a ex-branch manager, she had quite a lot of knowledge in the business sector. So from her I learnt quite a lot about how to run a successful business.
What about within safety itself? So what did can you remember anything in relation to what it instilled in you as a young lad, I suppose, over in WA, of training and safety industry? What's one of the things that you sort of fundamentally learnt from that?
Probably that everything's inherently dangerous. There's not a whole lot you can do to completely eradicate danger, but what you can do is be aware of it and mitigate it and deal with it appropriately.
So, of course, so you you did that as a teenager, and then you obviously left school, got out on your own, started work, and as I can see and as I said at the start of the program, that you ended up 20 years in the mining and offshore oil and gas experience. Let us know a little bit about that.
Well, most of us in Perth tend to end up in the fly-in, fly-out industry if we want to make any decent money. So definitely if I was going to achieve any of the goals I had, lofty dreams that I had at that age, I had to go where the money was. So that got me out on the mine sites, and just through word of mouth happened to hear about some opportunities to get offshore fairly early on in my mid-20s, and pretty much went there and didn't look back. I stayed offshore pretty much in that entire 20 years.
So what sort of work were you doing?
Predominantly deck work, working under the crane, dogging if you like, but being part of a deck crew on an oil rig makes you a bit of a jack of all trades. You work with a lot of different trades, use a lot of different machinery. It can be quite specialised, but that's one of the things that lured me to stay in the deck part of offshore, was just because of the varied aspects of work that you could do.
And before we came on the podcast today, we were actually having a little bit of a chat earlier. And I believe that one of your favourite things is actually cranes.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, isn't it? Well, it's just working with cranes and with loads. It's just something, probably only because of the sheer amount of time that I've done it, but it seems a lot more enjoyable and a lot more natural than perhaps a lot of things you do on an oil rig, which can get pretty mundane and repetitive and boring and that sort of thing. Whereas even though you're doing the same thing, lifting loads around, they all every time you lift something up, there's going to be a new challenge or a new problem that might get you. So, yeah, it's a bit of fun.
Okay, so that was all over in WA. You've ended up on the other side of the country in Queensland. You're currently in Gladstone, but at first I think you were down on the Sunshine Coast first. But you have had a young family as well, or you've got a young family. What made you, I suppose, get out of that industry and into the as an RTO?
Kids. That'd be about it, really. 3 to 4 weeks away at a time from my then newborn was not okay. I wanted to be home every night. I wanted to be a part of their lives. You know, when they're that young, it can be quite a challenge reconnecting with your little ones after being away for a long time.
Yes, in the end, I'll actually ask you a little bit about the business as well, but fundamentally you do got to remember why you actually are in business and not work your guts out so you can't see your family for 20 years and so forth and then turn around and go, what the hell? Because no one will definitely appreciate that. So, okay then, you started up Gladstone Training Services, as far as I know, with your father. And can you tell us a little bit of how that began?
Coming from 20 years of working on oil rigs, it could be said that perhaps my interpersonal skills could do with a little bit of tweaking. And my father being with over 30 years of training experience and me having zero training experience, it was a pretty obvious resource to lean on to get him in to help me get started and to sort of show me the ropes a little bit. Although there are differences between states on how these things are done from a compliance perspective, you know, a trainer who's been doing it for 30 years, my theory is he must have got something right.
And I'm sure you heard it from your father as well. And so hopefully this is embedded in your brain when I do ask you this question. So father, 30 years in the training business and so forth, over in WA at the very beginnings. I'm sure it was very different in the 90s as it was over in WA, and now we're in 2021. Can you remember anything that your father said and how the industry has changed it all over that period?
I can't remember a time that he's spoken where he wasn't mentioning a change over that period. It's a dynamic world, safety. It continues to roll forward, whether you agree with all the changes or not. There's always something that can be tweaked, something that can be worked, something that can be made safer. It's been nothing but change. Compliance from a government standpoint is definitely one of the big steps that things took when we first started. With my parents' business, we were quite literally writing our own courses solely from my father's knowledge and experience, whereas, you know, these days we're pretty much directed by government as to what areas we must cover in a training course and that sort of thing. So definitely getting consistency of quality, I guess, across all training organisations has been one of the biggest steps forward that they've made.
And do you think it's so? Of course, it's compliance for everyone these days, and especially with the training organisations. And you know, a lot of people do call themselves training organisations, but being a registered RTO is a completely different aspect, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you're delivering national courses to a national curriculum. You know, so you have certain learning outcomes that are not negotiable. You have to prove that you've covered them all. In the industrial sector, it's been that way for quite a while. You know, compared to community, I guess, community training and that sort of thing, a lot of those are really just it's up completely up to the training organisation how they run their course, whereas we have a standard that is set out that must be adhered to make sure that everyone is covered, everybody does get the info they need.
Okay, before we get on to the business a little bit in what Gladstone Training Services does do, you're based, as we said, here in Gladstone, and you're in quite a big building, which also doubles up as the Gladstone Business Centre. And from my understanding, you own the building as well, and there's a number of offices coming out of that building in Gladstone from different groups and so forth. But having your business situated out of there, what does that accommodate for Gladstone Training Services?
Well, it was renovated as a training organisation at one point of its lifetime. So there's a number of large training rooms. We've got plenty of space for doing practical training, so we'll be having a crane permanently stationed pretty soon. We've got our own forklift work platform, all the equipment we need, soon to include dogging and rigging courses. We've got it all on site, which is not something that every training organisation is able to accommodate. We're trying to get more, but unfortunately I haven't found too many free earth-moving machinery options just yet, but hopefully we'll in the near future be starting to offer a lot more in the earth-moving sector.
Well, let's go back then and let the listeners know what courses does Gladstone Training Services offer?
Well, our core courses are our working at heights confined space gas test. Those three tend to go together for a lot of minimum requirements on sites around Gladstone. We also do the general induction white card for the construction industry. It's just a sort of a general induction to industry at large, really. It's kind of a very base level introduction to a lot of safety systems that are used not just in construction. Industrial sites use them a lot as well, and in fact a lot of industrial sites now require a white card just for that sort of introduction. We also do forklift and elevating work platform every week, and that's about it for our core that we're running at the moment. Over the next couple of months we'll be bringing in dogging and rigging, and hopefully some of the more commonly used earth-moving machinery, subject to, yeah, finding the resources and working out all the details. But the dogging and rigging is already lined up and hopefully should be done in the next couple of months.
And, of course, as we've said a couple of times now, with based in Gladstone, but Gladstone is a high industrial area. Of course, you've got the Rio Tintos, we've got Cement Australia, we've got a number of organisations and large ones with the port as well, of course. We're a deep water port in Gladstone. And as I said, industrial mechanical services, the supply chain is quite big as well. Do you find Gladstone a great place to be, which I would suspect it would be for a training organisation to have access to businesses and so forth that need this type of training?
It is, but perhaps not in the way you'd expect, because a lot of these larger organisations have a lot of those sorts of things covered. And to be honest, there is a fair choice of training operations in the town. What I've found more helpful and more rewarding for us is working with the contractors that usually actually supply to the Rios and the likes, the smaller contractors that have maybe not the big numbers, but they still have requirements that need to be met, and working with them locally around town has probably been the most enjoyable part of the job.
So as you said there, there's a bit of competition for you, and which can make it, you know, fun, difficult, but also entertaining. But to the point of a point of difference, what do you believe the difference is that Gladstone Training does do or will do in the future?
I'd say flexibility would be the biggest thing that that we've got going for us over others in town. Probably, just a bit of a can-do attitude. I find that a lot of RTOs set up a schedule and that's what they offer, and that's about all there is to it. Whereas, you know, we've been approached many times by companies that need to get something through, and we have the space and the resources to manage to do something on their terms if that's what they need.
Okay, let's go back a little bit. Back in time, one of the things that I do ask a lot of people on the podcast, a lot of our listeners are in business, small to large business as well. And for anybody that doesn't run their own business, it can be a fun game in relation to survival, of course, and there's many different things to be able to survive, and many late nights and stressful days for people and so forth. So yourself, it's been a couple of years now that you've been doing Gladstone Training Services. You set everything up when you arrived, and a lot of work to do. But how's the experience been for you, and what's one of the, one of the main learnings that you've learned from not just the training services, but to the point of being in business?
It's been a lot of fun. Challenging, sure, but. Probably, I suppose, slower than I would have liked. We all want to make $1 million tomorrow or yesterday, But, you know, things have been, it's been a very positive experience. Things have progressed, maybe not as quickly as they could have. It could be suggested that I'm not perfect. But things have definitely progressed in the right way. So it's been an enjoyable experience. We've gone from, you know, losing money, putting lots of money down on capital to you know, having a positive looking balance sheet is, yeah, it's something I'm sort of still celebrating because it didn't happen all that long ago. But it's good to be going in the right direction and get that justification for all the time and effort you have put in, and to be able to see where it can go and that it is actually all possible. It's definitely a hell of a thing to go through.
And I know it's off the cuff, but what have you learned? What have you learned through this experience?
I guess probably more than anything would be patience and perseverance, which sounds a little bit, to me, that sounds pretty cliche. But the fact of the matter is you do tend to go real hard and try and smash things out, and the results don't just magically bounce back. Everything takes time. It can be a slow process. No amount of money is gonna make everybody know you exist tomorrow. So you know, definitely the consistency of keeping things going and giving as much as you can to pretty much every student that walks through the door, because I mean, literally, most of my business has come from past students referring other people and businesses to me. So I guess learning and remembering the importance of every single person that walks in the door is probably one of the key learnings.
And in relation to what's the future for Glasden Training Services? Before the podcast, we were having a little bit of a chat in digital courses, I think, was one of the areas that you were moving into. Are you able to say anything about that?
The online courses are a bit of a bugbear for me, really, as somebody who has, you know, operated machinery for most of my life, or at least worked around machinery. I find that there have been many attempts at doing online courses in the industry sector before, and not many of them have done very well. I believe that there's two sections to a lot of the sort of training that I do. There's a theoretical side and there is a practical side. And a lot of the theoretical side is not that difficult. It can be overwhelming and a bit much for somebody who is completely new to industry. But the vast majority of people that come through have at least some experience of industry. And a lot of the theoretical side of things is just common knowledge to them. So as far as what I'm planning to implement in online courses, it will really revolve around getting perhaps the less interesting for people like me who like to pull levers and move things, getting that out of the way and making sure that everybody is on the same page when they come into a course. And that, just through sheer efficiency, will you know, make for a lot quicker learning outcomes and a lot faster turnaround times for courses.
Okay, so one of the last questions, I suppose, before we do finish up on the podcast is with the industry and training, of course, but safety predominantly and doing the courses, where is the industry going at the moment? Where do you think it's heading?
Maybe I'm optimistic, but it's appearing of recent times that even right up to government levels, there's a strong push to get quality practical learning outcomes, especially for these sorts of industry, you know, machinery operators and that sort of qualification, and a bit of a less importance held on compliance and ticking the right box. We've got a lot more flexibility of late to ascertain, you know, give students an opportunity to explain themselves if they've got something that's perhaps not right. And a degree of discretion to say, well, they may not have used the exact word, but they understand what the process is and what needs to be done to work safely.
And that definitely goes a long way in a way because, as well, not everybody's their first language is English, is it? So it can make it a lot easier. But even people's language, first language is English. They also explain things in a very different way sometimes, but as long as they've got the learning qualities. Well, as I said, we're pretty much at the end of the podcast. So for people to be able to get in contact with Gladstone Training Services, how do they do that, Gary?
Well, we've got a couple of options. There's the 1300 number, 1300 001 487. That's probably the primary way to get hold of us. We've also got the website, gladstonetraining.com.au. We can also be emailed, but all the details will be on the website.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, Gary.
Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.